excuse you, interrupt the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
When?
Did you just say when? Are we recording? You said that as fucking quiet as possible. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Full Reptile Radio Apocalypse, Bonker Podcast, as we've been calling it. First of all, look at the state of this.
What?
Like, isolations. Look, come and look at Owen. In fact, Mystery, turn your camera on as well. Turn your camera on as well. Look at the state of this.
What the fuck?
But wait, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I've been in Amsterdam like that, so I'm used to that.
Yeah, Mystery's not washed that hat since Amsterdam. Oh, look at that. Now you're starting to look like one of the Tap Out crew.
No, it's worse like that.
But it's cool. No, this was back when Tap Out was cool.
Covered the glasses. Now we can see more of the glasses.
Oh.
Yeah, see, now I can be respectable again. But look, this is vintage.
Kind of respectable. Like punk rock at weekends.
Ah, fuck it, man. Who wants to be respectable? Fuck that.
As well. Wonderful.
No, I've had a bit of a morning. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to get dressed up. I'm going to put my new...
The lovely T-shirt. Here.
Look at this.
Yeah. We're going to need some of those over here.
How come he gets all the stuff?
Because of isolation. This is the problem.
Because I made it. So deal with it.
Wait.
That's it.
Okay. So I saw on Instagram the coffee thing with the bullet and the new coffee. I have to buy coffee from Co-op. Not even the good kind. Not even the branded one, like the Co-op brand.
Oh, man, I've got Full Reptile coffee for days.
Yeah, thanks.
I got 24 bags of house.
We don't.
I got 24 bags of Aricha. I've probably got some Mahembe and Debo kicking them out in the archive.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we don't have any of that. Co-op coffee.
Although, to counter it, we don't have homeschooling. We just have Lego.
Yeah.
There you go. So I know what I'd rather be doing. Trust me.
That's probably why we're not looking as crazy as you are right now.
You can have all the coffee in the world. So basically, what you're seeing on Insta is the deliveries that went out before the lockdown. Because what's happening is, most people know that our office is on a secret location on a golf course. And basically...
Through a golf course, like a Bond villain.
Yes, exactly. So what happens is, we went there and I was sorting out all the new gear and doing everything else. And the golf course is shut. But rich, middle-class white men don't consider themselves part of the fucking problem. So they still go playing golf. Like dickheads.
Are they on their golf course?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, top secret, even you don't know. So trust me, this is brand new information for everyone. So I was going to go there and keep working until I realized that there's a police presence there now because people are using it as a national park. So they're going and walking around the golf course and you've got the owner who is losing his fucking mind, ready to kill people because basically they're just using it as like a public footpath. So I have got orders. I mean, this is even more exclusive. Saul from Chasing Status tapped me up yesterday to say, yo. The NHS exclusive tea on its way for you boys. However, I'm going to give them the mention now, but I will try and collect those T-shirts on a stealth mission at some point because obviously it's one of them. I can't face any more prison time.
No. Is that why you're wearing a disguise?
Well,
exactly.
Guys, like in a golf course, I think you're going to have to switch your disguise. I don't think that's like a golf course disguise.
Plus, I have got far too many tattoos to be accepted on any golf course currently. Trust me.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm working there, they take all the deliveries in for me. They are absolute sweethearts. They're the best place. I fucking love them. But you imagine me walking from my secret office and it's about 100 yards from there to the reception and I pass about 50 golfers. And it is in posh middle England. So they're just all... Poncy schmonts driving like Jaguars and fucking Maseratis and all this cool shit. And then I go walking through, snap back on, fucking full sleeves, maybe a t-shirt. All right. Maybe. Ripped jeans. Yes. Yeah. It's I've been reported.
Just wear that t-shirt and tell him you're Jimmy wore that.
Oh mate.
Jimmy, especially if you get arrested. That's always my go-to. I'm always Jimmy Wallet if I got arrested.
Exactly. Dean came down once, and honestly, he was scared for his life. it was like Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, it's a bit medieval back up there, isn't it? Where you're.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Not us.
At least you're kind of ready for the apocalypse.
Oh mate, yeah. Well, that's it. That was it. So I am ready.
Wow. It does. You do look like a character out of an apocalypse movie.
Like he came from the future.
That's good though, right?
Tell us how the apocalypse is in like 4 years.
Mate, have you seen that tweet that's going around about a time traveler coming back to 2010 and going, right, sit yourself down. This is the shit that's going down. The guy off The Apprentice is the fucking president in America. There's a fucking dickhead in China that chewed on a raw bat and now everyone's dying. The whole country's in lockdown. And the only person that can save us all is a fucking redneck gay guy, gun-toting fucking maniac who's got 180 pet tigers. And that's legit. That is like a fact. So
hang on. We've not watched this Tiger King.
No, we
haven't.
You're missing out, man.
Like the jackets. So
I don't think I can do it. It's just going to make me angry,
dude. But the thing is, it's not about that. It's not even about like mistreating of animals or anything like that, because to be fair, it's that bonkers. There are a million different times that you're sort of going, is he wearing a priest's collar at his third husband, who was a straight man's funeral, talking about him rubbing testicles on everyone in the park, and everyone's just laughing along? You're like, and you just watch it like, oh, fair enough. Yeah, so that's happening now. It's amazing. It is amazing.
We're going to have to watch an episode of this.
I don't know, because I keep hearing how the girl, like, you know.
Killed her husband.
Yeah, so.
Did.
You want me to watch that?
No, I don't.
No, you're safe.
There is enough.
You know you're safe until Veronica walks in with a tiger cub. And he's like, all right. Oh, don't worry about him. He's good. That's just Tony.
Tony.
Yeah. It is good. It is, because I think it just takes you away from, if anyone is worried or if anyone has got shit to think about, as a nation, we like to binge watch. And because when you binge watch, I mean, it could have been put probably in one episode, but by the time you are three or four deep, you're just praying that it's spread out for like the length EastEnders has been on. You know what I mean?
We watch it. We just started watching The Witcher.
Oh, okay. Jan Błachowicz.
Yeah. It's his favorite character, isn't it? I'm enjoying it, and I think we're gonna do Mandalorian again, because I want to watch it again. Plus, I've been buying more Lego Star Wars. So,
well, I still haven't managed to sit because I got outvoted because I live with three wives, and they all voted against it. So this morning we watched the new Trolls film.
Oh, nice.
I can't even be mad. I fucking loved it. It was brilliant. If you've seen Trolls 1, you can't not love Justin Timberlake. So Trolls 1 is a must watch. It is the absolute bollocks. I know it's got James Corden in, but ignore that. It's brilliant, right? So then to go from that, Trolls is one of Libby's favourite all-time films. And with it being Easter holidays, we were going to be going to the cinema. So she was absolutely jonesing for that until the lockdown came. But Trolls has been released nationwide, legit, not even like through a dodgy source. It's been released on Sky. You can buy it. So first thing we did this morning was sit and watch Trolls World Tour.
Yeah, I had to clarify that. Not even a dodgy site. He had to clarify.
Are you talking about Trolls with the big hair?
You remember Tonks? Remember like pencil topper Trolls?
Like the ones that have got eyes like this? Hang on.
Wait, isn't that like Smurfs?
Yeah.
The same thing.
No, like work orange eyes.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, but
hair as well.
But they're kind of more like.
It's getting long. Look at that. Look how long that is.
Oh, he looks like the guy from Hangover.
There we go. The guy from Hangover.
Did you just compare Smurfs and Trolls?
Apparently, you look like Zach Galifianakis.
I'll take it. Mate, I'm
like, well, like in that way, Weight Watchers.
So you lost weight. You're an underweight Zach Galifianakis.
Well, I've been told Seth Rogen, and last week someone called me fucking Jack Osborne. Jack's fucking Osborne. I mean, Ozzy's in the new Trolls film, and I love Ozzy, but what? Jack? Nah, you can't have that, man.
Ozzy's in the new Trolls film. Is it animated? Are you talking about his voice is in it, or he's in it?
Yeah, no, his voice is in it. Okay. Yeah, because it's it's all about music. So the rock troll is trying to take over all of the fucking troll kingdoms and make rock the only music. And Ozzy's her dad. It's fucking brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But just to step back, just as a serious note, Veronica did just compare Trolls and Smurfs.
Okay, and is there only one girl and are they blue?
No, but what you said was extremely racist towards Trolls and Smurfs. If you start referring to Smurfs as them people, don't have that. Trolls and Smurfs are different. And the one girl, she fucking loved that shit, all right? She was all over that. She had the picture book. Yeah, don't watch the Smurf movies. Watch the Troll ones. They were good. So we watched that this morning instead of Mandalorian.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking I'll give that a miss for a little while until things get really desperate.
Unless you've got some shrooms or some really good green, because honestly, seeing Trolls sing and dance would be the fucking bollocks.
I don't even know how the screen at me.
With that crazy eyes. Some Zach Galifianakis skinny motherfucker behind you. Yeah, not what you want. So,
can I dislocate your own shoulder or something?
No, I've just got an itch on my back.
Back of what?
Huh?
Back of the fridge downstairs. Jesus. Oh, shit. Oh, nice little plug there. Nice little plug.
Of course. That's what we do. God, it is getting warm. I've got to be honest. It's fucking toasty. Jesus.
It's supposed to be warm today, isn't it? British summertime.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, well, people...
Because my dad said 20 degrees.
No, your mom.
Oh, my mum. Said it was going to be hot. She said 20 degrees. She thought it was hilarious.
Oh, you thought...
No, but she was serious.
Yeah,
And then my nana Barbara is going through every flag emoji trying to find the right one for Veronica because she's not quite sure. So you've had... What was today? Zimbabwe? Kenya?
No, Kenya.
Kenya.
So at first she put Brazil, which I get because I was living in Brazil.
Yeah.
Right? And my last name is Portuguese, so I would get why you'd put a Brazilian flag. Understandable. Now Kenya.
Way off the mark with the next one.
Yeah, but they only have lions and tigers in Kenya. Yeah.
But she's decided to allocate an emoji for everybody in the family, you see.
Oh, just cool. To
make it easier. So
what have you got? Is yours a skull and crossbone?
Mine is the skull and crossbones, the pirate flag.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I've been in my office clearing all of the cupboards out because I thought a lot of the boxes in the cupboards were empty and the sets were made up. I found a brand new Lego pirate ship in a box the other day that's not been built up.
Oh, in the Lego shipped today.
And the new Lego one's been shipped today. Have you seen the new Lego set?
Yes. Well, I saw it on the...
Okay.
Yeah, and Google's listening to this because that shit's... It came up on my phone earlier. Stace said to me the other day, because it's my birthday soon, she's like, what do you want for your birthday? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I went into a bit of panic mode because I was like, I can't have outside stuff, so I'm going to have to start researching what I need to ask for. And so I ended up on the Lego site and, yeah, I saw the new Barracuda Bay. And now because I've searched on Lego, every time I'm on Facebook or in Instagram or whatever, it's like, did you want to look at this again? Doing that crazy Big Brother thing that just tries to, look what you're looking at. So yeah.
I've got the same thing coming up. We were on a family call the other day and my mum was saying, oh, let me know what you want for your birthday and we'll get it sent straight to the house. Obviously knows it's going to be Lego. So I've been perusing the internet for the past 3 days trying to decide what I want. Because I've got a horrendous amount, haven't I? Let's be honest.
You can never have too much.
Oh, no, this is it.
No. But you can.
I've got... No, you can't.
Yeah.
No. You've been ordering more. You ordered the Yoda. See?
So?
See?
Yeah.
Then she's hooked already. She's joined the Lego club. She's joined the Lego club already. She's in.
You can't act that. You can't.
Oh, she's like a
a legit brown belt, experienced brown belt in Lego building now.
Yeah, well, we have to do the Millennium Falcon. Yeah, that's the when that's we finish belt. That, that's like expert.
If you're still in the same room on the next podcast after the Millennium Falcon's built, then you've won. this is so you've got two things that you have to do in quarantine to see if this is going to work. One is building the Millennium Falcon together.
Yeah.
The other thing is hanging a picture.
Oh.
Sounds very simple, but and it has to be where Veronica wants it to be. It can't be where you want it to be. It has to be where she wants it to be, and you have to be the one this close to the wall holding it, going, "Is that all right?" And them going, "Yeah, I suppose." Do you need it a little bit? Well, no, just, well, if you want it to look shit, then yeah, leave it there. I swear to God, the most infuriating thing as a married couple is to fucking hang a picture. Right, honestly.
What was the thing that I saw on...
Yeah, you put the thing you posted on your Instagram.
Yeah, it was amazing.
We've yet to hang a picture.
My wife and I played this fun game during quarantine. It's called, "Why Are You Doing It That Way?" And there's no winners.
Yeah. Like breathing. Why are you breathing that loud? Honestly. The thing is, because I said this before, I mean, to be fair, at the minute, we're into Easter holidays now. So we've got no schoolwork. So it's not too bad. But you're still kind of fucking coiled real tight the whole time. And the minute someone does something or says something that you can sort... you can lose your shit about. Sorry, the dog's just walking on the door again. Check him. Henry, what are you doing, my dude?
He looks like one of the Lego sets that we built this week.
Yeah. What's up, my dude? He looks like one of the Lego sets.
Yeah, we built the AT-AT out of a thingy.
Imagine if I made him a cardboard AT-AT outfit.
Oh, dude, you've got to. Spray it silver.
Ben could be an Ewok.
Definitely could.
And Ernie could be Chewie.
You can get an Ewok costume. So, like you know, for the front legs.
Oh, I've seen those. That's adorable.
But you know how Ben looks. He just looks at you as if to say, "This just isn't funny, you bunch of dicks."
He refused to stand up.
Yeah. Because
he knows exactly what's going on. He's too smart.
Are they laughing at me or with me? Fucking at me. Fuck these wankers. Yeah, he's too smart for that shit. But that's, I mean, hopefully I can find something Lego-wise. I'll find something. I did find some cool shit. I found some, what the fuck is going on? Sorry. Excuse me, he's literally pacing. Do you want to go downstairs? Right, let me let him downstairs.
Okay.
Go on then. Good boy. I'll leave the door open. And then I have explained this before, but it's a weird trapdoor look. See it?
Yeah. Do you remember the show Trapdoor? Why'd you open that trap? You remember that?
It's like a weird Harry Potter. It's like Harry Potter sideways.
Everyone in England is like Harry Potter. I'm surprised that you didn't know this. All we do is eat crumpets and cast magic spells.
We cast magic spells. There's a lot of that going on. We were here the other night because obviously this building's like 130 years old. And there's literally a crack or a creak every about 5 seconds. Kind of weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's a bit scary.
Mate.
I'm not gonna lie,
mate. It's scary. I was telling Dan just before we came on, because I'm old as shit. Like shell suits were a new thing in about 1993, so I would have been 11 or 12. So like you know the shell suit, the track boots.
Hang on, I've got that whisper was a what the fuck is that?
I could tell. Trust me. I get a lot of people whispering to the other people that they're with when I'm saying something, so I can pick up on that shit.
You know what's funny is I watched UFC 5 and 6 yesterday. There's a lot of fucking shell suits in UFC 5 and 6. I think it was like Lion's Den or I think one of them might have been Frank Shamrock. Yeah, it was Lion's Den.
And there Mark Coleman.
Yellow tracksuits with white stripes. They were so bad. Not tracksuits, shell suits.
Yeah.
Like, what were they, polyester?
Yeah, yeah. They if you rubbed them too quick, they burst into flames.
Yeah, go on, look one up. They're terrible.
Just type in like Barry Frigg or something from Harry Enfield. Hey, Barry, hey. There's some wicked shell suits.
Barry Frigg? Is that what he was called?
Barry, fucking Barry Frigg, hey. I'm sure it's Barry Frigg. Might have just been at our school. You know how that was. Yes, so, like Barry Frigg.
It's so sweet. The thing is, I remember having one of these. I had a Reebok one, in fact. I was on brand back in the day.
But that's when Reebok was almost okay to have because of Reebok Pump.
What were the other ones? Yeah, Reebok Pumps were good, weren't they?
Although like the 70s stuff.
Yeah, but 70s. Not all of that
one. Oh, like, this is like a hot one.
That's not really a show suit. I mean, she's cut that to bits. That's Barry. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
So, because my mum's house, we always thought that was haunted because basically she lived in a little village and her house backs onto a load of fields and then a train line, which my neighbour was 2 years older than me, James was, when we were growing up. And he used to say to me, every night at this specific time, that's when the ghost train comes to drop off the ghosts for the night. So, like, beware. And genuinely, I could hear and see the train miles away at this certain time. I didn't know he'd looked at the fucking timetable, did I? I didn't know he could do that. So there I was, like 9 or 10, and I was convinced that there was a fucking ghost train. Add that together with my mum's big house, that her bathroom was made out of cork. Because before my mum and dad split up, my dad put the bathroom in, and it's genuinely a penthouse suite. Like the brand from the 80s, penthouse suite, and it's all made out of cork. So everything's like dead. It opens with air because it's made out of cork. Like the airing cupboard door will open and close on its own. So as a kid, that fucking shit scares you. So because it's at the end of the corridor, you used to go to the toilet and you would run fucking as fast as you could away from the bathroom. But in a shell suit, if you've ever run in one, it makes this noise. And when you're running away from something you're scared of in the dark and your legs are rubbing together, making that noise. It's not that I'm a fat cunt. It's just that they were flappy. Honestly, that shit used to terrify me. And now I'm a grown ass man. I can't even sit on my own backyard at night and look down the garden because I'm fucking still scared.
Yeah. He put a photo in the group of the day of what was it? Was it some embers burning in a old can? Big old fire.
I've got an oil drum at the bottom of the garden that basically is like secure waste. Because I worked in a bank, you can't trust any fucker with anything, so you have to burn it. So like certain things gets burnt in the burning barrel. But there's holes at the bottom of the burning barrel.
Burning barrel.
To let the air out. Everyone knows what a burning barrel is. And basically, I'd burnt some stuff earlier in the day, and then I was just having 5 minutes to myself. Just a cheeky 5 minutes at, say, midnight, whatever night that was. And I sat down, put my lighter on the step, looked up, and there was these two bright red glowing eyes staring at me.
Oh, no.
And my arsehole went from 50p to 20p, 50p, 20p. It was like a fucking bunny's nose. Honestly, mate. Shit my pants.
You weren't at all paranoid, were you? You weren't at all in a state of paranoia.
I might have been.
Yeah.
Very slightly paranoid.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's breathing fire. It's breathing fire.
Oh, mate, yeah. The story.
By the curtains, quick.
By the time I got up to the bed to tell Stace, there was a dragon. I had a mate who once was trying to scare us. We were walking through a load of fields, like on a trick or treat or something. And you know, it's like when you, I don't know, 15, and you want to go into the woods and smoke so your mum can't see you. And we're walking along, and my mate was trying to convince us that he'd seen some green eyes in a tree. And he went from trying to convince us to then trying to get us out of the woods because he'd convinced himself and become paranoid that he could see green eyes. And we were like, dude, you were the one that started that shit. And he was like, I don't know, but it really scared me. Does that?
I used to go for hikes around, there's a up near Clifton Weir. You know what I mean? Beeston Weir up in Clifton. There's a big old building up on the cliff. And there was loads of ghost stories about that, about like, you'd be able to hear pianos playing and a woman on a horse that would ride around the edge of the cliff and that kind of stuff. But I was always more interested in anything else. The thing that used to scare the shit out of me was when I was staying at my grandparents' house and all of a sudden out of nowhere, the dog would sit up and stare at a corner of the roof. I'm like, what's that? What's there? What do you see?
When we all die, we're going to go to, there's a series called The Good Place with Ted Danson. You've probably not watched it. But I think there's going to be something like that where we get sat down and we get told all the mysteries that we don't fucking understand, right? And one of them things is that dogs aren't just fucking dogs. Then there's no fucking way that they come into the world for like 10 to 15 years, then fuck off for no other purpose. They are guardians of some sort that keep an eye and just keep everything all right, I think, because they fucking know shit. But they don't. Not only do they know shit, they scare the shit out of you for knowing it because they can't tell you. So in their own brain, they're like, Dad, I think there's someone downstairs. You might want to go and have a quick look because that's our shit. Let's go and have a word. But that comes out as, woo, 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 woo. And you know, at fucking midnight, because our dogs sleep upstairs. Henry sleeps on his own bed. Ben sleeps at the foot of our bed and Ernie sleeps on the floor. You know, when you sat dead mellow, just watching telly, and it's on like volume 7, really low, and one of them steps up and fucking, woo, woo, woo. It's fucking scary. Now I'm going to have to go downstairs naked to find some dude in my kitchen. Like, that's not what you want, is it? Ever. You never want to find some dude in your kitchen when you're naked.
That's never what you want. I've got security cameras, so I can just jump on my phone, and I do that. Like, if I'll be sitting in here thinking there's someone in the back room, and I'll just pull up the security camera on my phone. That's a bit paranoid.
What weapon do you go for first, though, in your bedroom?
Well, it depends. There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. They're scattered around the house. There's all kinds of... In here, there's a sword and a shotgun and an axe on one side of the fireplace and a sword and a staff on the other. There's a hatchet on the top of the cupboard. There's some throwing knives in the drawer in front of the fridge.
Imagine, like, not to tempt fate, but just imagine the person's face if they sort of got in and were like, we're in, lads, and turned to see this newly developed mohawk sit in a bed and being like, all right, mate, with like 3 throwing knives, an axe and a fucking shield. Like, did you want me? And he's like, oh, fuck. And Samuel Jackson's voiceover just coming across that. It was at this point that Disco Dave knew he'd fucked up.
Yeah, but at that point is when from the side angle comes a Veronica with a jumping sidekick right in the side of the head. Kicks him straight through the window that they came in.
Oh, man. How did Disco Dave die? Funny story. Fucking Zimbabwean Veronica came in and fucked him up. Oh, man.
249's on then. What do you know about it? I've not looked at the news. I just know that the main event's sorted.
I've seen that there's something about Belarus wanting to host a load of events.
Yeah, but Khabib's out, though. Isn't he?
Yeah, so I saw that, but that was like 2 days ago. And then today I saw on Instagram that it was like Tony Ferguson with Justin Gaethje. And okay, then there was a load of riding. And then I was like, I'm just going to...
All pictures.
Okay.
So, all pictures, please.
I had the picture.
So we've got a possible rumor from a headline that you may have or may not have read because you didn't read the rest of the article.
Yeah,
the rest of the article said, this is a fight we'd like to see. I actually don't know.
It was under ESPN MMA and Ariel Helwani. How do you say
that? You can check your research deuces.
Okay.
Pop quiz for Veronica.
Yes.
Which fighter is from Minsk, Belarus? Don't whisper to her.
From Belarus.
From Minsk, Belarus. Minsk is from, but it's in Belarus.
Minsk. Say it again. He just loves saying it.
Minsk.
I don't get it.
Nah.
I'm going to tell you in sign language.
Never. She's never going to get it. She's never going to get it.
Ever.
Never going to get it. Never going to. Honestly. This
heavyweight champion. From, I think, UFC 34, 35.
Yeah, I'm never going
to. Didn't get to fight Frank Mir because Frank Mir had his bike accident at that time. He fought Tim Sylvia 3 times.
I don't even know who Tim Sylvia is.
Okay. He fought Justin Elias. Hello.
Dude, see, you're speaking absolute sense and logic to me. I know all of these fighters that you're talking about. Remember the matchups. I've been going through this the past few days because I've been doing some research for some shows we're going to do on the channel. I pulled up Pride 1. There's an Ewok.
This is a story I have to tell you in just a minute, but carry on.
What was I saying? Oh, I was talking about pride. Yeah, and like, there's so much MMA that she hasn't seen that this there is to look forward to.
Ben,
gonna have to watch.
Did you know? But I did see the guy getting like elbowed like that. That was awesome.
That was Remco Pardell. That's our boy.
No.
Okay.
Gary Goodridge.
Oh, the Gary Goodridge in the black gi.
Yes,
but Remco did that as well, right?
Pop quiz, who did Gary Goodridge do that to?
He's a Russian guy, wasn't he?
No.
Okay. I've just been on there this morning.
I only know this because I was because I watched it yesterday.
Go on.
Paul Herrera.
I wouldn't have got that.
Like 13 seconds.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Thought, I tell you what, I'm safe. No, you're not.
Right. I tell you what was ridiculous was Oleg Taktarov winning, was it UFC 6?
Yes. Yeah.
He guillotined the guy in 13 seconds. Then he beat...
Fight Tank.
Yeah, that Tank was the final. Rinnicky choked him at about 17 minutes. Yeah. Was absolutely exhausted at the end of it. That was awesome.
I was looking at the rivalries, and one of my favourite rivalries from back in the day, that old school historic rivalries, was Tank and Cabbage.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, well, Cabbage looked like he was more of a fighter. Hold on, sorry. I do need to let the guy from Minsk was Andrei Arlovsky, who's pretty much renowned as like royalty of MMA. So just from where? Trust me. I will bet you a haircut of Ben on it.
It looks sharp.
The reason I want to show you this is because
I'm in Hamburg. Yeah.
Yeah.
We shaved Ben, didn't we, mate? We shaved him. Anyone out there? I know people are giving a lot of props to like the NHS workers and everything else like that, but trust me, you know, if there's someone out there that is a dog groomer, my hat goes off to you, my man, because that shit is fucking hard. He looks like a fucking hobo, honestly. Like one of his back legs, I'm not even going to pick him up again because it's pissing him off. One of his back legs looks like he's wearing an 80s leg warmer, and the other one looks like he's wearing a stocking. He honestly, if he had a mirror, he'd be fuming. There it goes. He thinks I look like a twat, so this is my punishment.
He says, "Why do I have to have a haircut?" And he doesn't have to.
Oh, mate. I said to Stacey the other day, I said, "Should I shave my head?" And she was like, "No, you look like a cunt. Don't shave your head." Okay, so then I asked the girl, "Should I shave my beard off?" And they both started crying. And I was like, "I can't win. I'm shit at this parenting stuff. I was only going to get a haircut." Yeah.
I wear a pair of sunglasses that made me look like Willy Wonka and a furry hat.
Why not, man? Look, this is just standard business. This is what I'm all about.
You look like the wizard out of a tribe, a post-apocalypse tribe. You're like the wizard, the medicine man.
I'll take that. Yeah. Because I've got all the medicine, that's why.
You're the guy, you're like throw Skittles on the ground and tell the fortune with them or something.
And do a Johnny Depp walk across them and then maybe...
Crunch it underneath your feet.
Yeah, roll a fat dirty cone in my bare feet while I'm still on the Skittles. Daddy, are you going to walk the dogs? No, I'm going to go and chuck Skittles. Sorry, go on.
So, apparently, location is close to being confirmed, but not confirmed yet. It's going to be in the west coast of the U.S.,
okay.
Tony Ferguson is supposed to be fighting Justin Gaethje, but the fight hasn't been signed. And last week is when the fight with Khabib was off because Khabib returned to Russia.
But that was the sensible thing to do, right, for Khabib, because of he's with his family and he's chilling. So yep. That's the right thing to do, I think. I mean, it's one of them, isn't it? If I'm honest, I'd rather see Tony wait. There could be a load of main events. A load of main events that you could put in. The problem is that obviously people talk about the Tony and Khabib thing being cursed. I would rather wait for that personally. But there's a load of people. I'll tell you what has been interesting, and I even made a note of this. The amount of people that are asking for interim fights because they're willing to fight on 249. So like they've been saying, "Oh, I'll have an interim title fight for the heavyweight champion. I'll do this." I think like the BMF belt, all of the people that would fight on 249 should get a coronavirus bravery ribbon. Like a rosette, like a horse riding rosette. Or like from now on, whenever they come out, their shorts are like NHS blue or something.
Oh, I like that.
So that's like,
or you get a little patch that you stitch to them, like you've won a swimming race.
Yeah, achievement unlocked. What did you do? Save the motherfucking day. Chill out. Do you know what I mean? Imagine how many people are going to be watching that event.
Yeah. What I reckon, because you know what I'm like with gloves, I reckon the UFC should do some special, like, green ones with a Biohazard logo on the back.
Oh, yes.
UFC Biohazard. We should go back to names, I'm telling you. We should just shelf 249, wait until it's Khabib and Tony, and do like a UFC Biohazard.
Mate, they ran out of names. I've been doing that, the full reptile hub, the lab. I've been doing the poster, which is every single UFC with the cover and the date and when it was. It'd be perfect for you, Veronica. You can look through that. It'd be like an almanac for you to have a look at. And I was doing that, and they ran out of names. Like, they eventually ended up calling stuff like UFC shin kickers and stuff like that because they just ran out of names.
Yeah. I've been looking back through them, though. They are fun to go through, some of the names. Like Showdown, Collision Course, Vendetta.
Rivals, Bad Blood.
Vendetta was...
Tito, wasn't it?
Tito, yeah. Tito and who?
Was it Randy?
Was it? Or was it Ken Shamrock?
Could have been. Yeah, in the green shorts. After he beat Kimo Leopold.
Kimo Leopoldo, who in, was it UFC 3, came to the Octagon carrying a cross. A massive cross.
Yeah.
Fucking exhausted by the time he got there.
Mate, but he was ahead of his game. It's like, oh, what do you need? I need a gimmick, guys. I need a fucking gimmick. Take this cross. Fucking hell. Just take it. My dad made it. If you don't take it, he's going to feel like a right twat.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he weighs 200 pounds. Yeah, but, you know, you don't have to carry it. Just drag it.
Yeah. He's really tried hard. He doesn't know what MMA is. Just take it. It's like the first time... Miss Stacey's granddad, we went there once, and he was like, do you want this garden gate? And I was like, no, I'm good, thanks. thinking I was answering a normal question, not thinking I was answering a fucking trick question if I want to be part of the family. So I went for a bath, came back, and Stacey's like, we need a word. And I was like, what the fuck's wrong? I went outside, and my car's got this old wrought iron gate in the back of it. I was like, what the fuck is that doing there? She went, no. He's made that for you. He's made that for you. And he was like, he was trying to style it out like, oh, that's there if you want it. So I would have gone, oh my God, what a cool fucking gate. We didn't need a gate. He's in the garden.
That's good. That's a good story. That's a real clusterfuck.
Mate, the amount of people that take things just to be nice without saying it how it is. Do you know what I mean? Do you want this? No, it looks like shit, thanks. It doesn't happen a lot.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, we're too polite, man. We are too polite. I would like to see definitely an exclusive glove, or I don't want them to do that UFC 200 yellow fucking baby diarrhea mat cover.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Nah, fuck that.
You know when we're editing inside the Octagon, if there's a fight off that card that's got a particular highlight, I do my best not to use it because it looks so ugly. Oh. Like you go to like blue canvas, yellow canvas. It's like, and it's not even a nice yellow either.
No. And it wasn't even the best fight. You're not gonna be breaking down DC versus fucking Anderson Silva, are you? Let's be honest. Here's DC and Anderson lying on the settee, just cuddling.
Was it Aldo was on that card though? Was it Aldo against Edgar? Was that on that card?
Yes. Because didn't Edgar win? But it wasn't a finish. It was close.
I don't remember. I just remember watching that fight and feel like it was on that canvas.
Yeah, it was. It was.
My best to use clips because it just looks weird.
I tell you what I did here the other day, though. I heard the old music with the Gladiator and it fucking absolutely got me going, wanting to watch fighting again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now it's that weird, like, all the flags and then Ken Shamrock breaking the floor and it going down on the sort of weird elevator.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, it was that Gladiator that looked like Robbie Lawler. with
strapping on his shin pads backstage.
Yeah. I'm not going to sing it.
I still think you can't beat Pride though. Like those early Prides when they had the big opening ceremony with all the fighters and the drummers and shit. They were just, that was like proper martial arts tournament.
It must have been. Wouldn't that have been a bit of a head fuck for your adrenaline though? You know, if you're you're a fighter, right, and you know you're third or fourth out or whatever, it's like, right, let's fucking go, boys. Your whole team's with you, and you know when it's time to get wrapped up. So you've got Stitch Durant in front of you, and he's sorting out your wraps. Your head's clear. The boys are getting ready, and it's like, right, we're out to fucking fight now. I get that. But you know if they're like, just nip out the front 10 minutes. Just go and see everyone. Just go and stand with your opponent. Then what? Then fuck off again so we can introduce the fucking first fight. It was very grandiose, you know, to bring them all out and to, like, parade them.
Showcase, yeah, fighters parade. But I've done a lot of fights where they did fighter parades. Like, Muay Thai, they used to do, like, fighter parades in Muay Thai quite a lot and stuff. Like, bring you out and, like, this, like, the first half of the card are all, like shaking and kind of half sweated up and got their gowns on, they're greased and stuff. Yeah.
Does that not fuck with you, though, when you think that... My only experience really from fighting is sat in lesson at school after I've upset someone, knowing that I'm going to be having a fight at the end of that last lesson.
Mate, I know that feeling exactly. I remember clearly that happening to me in a maths lesson. And there was a kid in the class, and it was like, basically, it was on. Like once that lesson had finished, we would leave that room, make a left out of the building, and it was on. And I remember for the whole hour, like, sitting there with this kind of weird knot, like, anxiety.
And
like, as soon as the lesson had finished, he got up and shot out. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's shat himself. He's done. He's gone. I'm like, yeah, fucking swaggering out. Walk out. And the guy clubs me from the back of the, from behind. He was hiding around the corner waiting for me to come out.
And he'd done a full run, like, as if to say, I'm running so fast that way. Not really.
Yeah, and he hid around the corner. I'm like, got me. Yeah, it's not a nice feeling, that.
It's not. That was when I got punched with a knuckle duster.
Ooh.
I got caught in the back on the back of my head with a knuckle duster from a guy at college. There was like a corridor between two rooms where life drawing was. So there was an old lady called Vicky that used to live there. We used to draw her in the nude, which was what you did at art college. And there was a youth club there that was a pool table. And then my classrooms were all this side, but the canteen was just the other side. And I'd upset someone. And but he was a mate, and he laughed it off. And then because he was with all his boys, he was with all his crew, he sort of took offense to what I'd said because we were only joking. And then he just sort of chased me and clink back of my head. And I was like, to be fair, it didn't knock me out. I'd like to think if I punched someone in the back of the head with a knuckle duster, I'm fucking doing some damage. Like,
you might be in time, yeah.
Yeah, Millie could do it with knuckle dusters and knock me out. So fuck that pussy. But I remember then having to go back to lessons and thinking, oh, fuck, now what am I going to do? Because I'm going to have to walk through there to get back to my motorbike to go home. And you know when you're just trying to play different scenarios through your head? Yeah, not nice. It's just that weird bleep feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
I just imagine you'd get that feeling if you were at a fight ready to go. They call you out, then send you back again.
I don't think that, though, because, like, so in a few fights that... before the UFC where that has happened to me, it's kind of like you go out, and this happens a lot more when you do like competitions that are not MMA fights, like jiu-jitsu or just any sort of competitions. So you're there and you see the public the whole time, right? And well, for those competitions, it's a little bit different because you have different mats and you have just like a lot of things going on. But when you compete, you always feel like everybody's watching you.
Yeah.
Narcissistic, but it's true. You always feel like everybody's watching you, feel a lot of pressure on you. So I feel like it's kind of good, but it depends on like how you view it, but you can view it as like a positive thing because you can go out, sort of feel the environment. Like a lot of the times we create things in our mind. So like I just be like, oh, there's like too many people or like things are going to be crazy. And I go outside or like when the fighters get called and it's just like, okay, like I can handle this. This is fine. Everything's okay. You know, and then you go back in and you kind of like, you already saw what you're getting into. So there's no surprises. You can get what's there and you can relax about it. And then like, when you just go out to fight, there's some fighters that just, they're like, okay, so you have that tunnel, which is like, it's terrifying. So you can either kind of like just run to the cage or just like put your head down and just not think of anything. Just go straight to the cage and try to forget anything. And just up until that first minute of the fight, it's like a whole different fight. You know, it's a whole fight of nerves and stuff. So up until that first minute, it's a whole different game. But, or you can try to like, okay, I'm here, see everything and kind of like take it in.
Yeah.
It depends on, in my opinion, it depends on how you view it and what measures you take towards it.
I always found Taekwondo competitions were the worst because I was sitting in the stands waiting for my name to be called.
Mm-hmm.
So like there all day, sometimes all weekend, like listening for someone to call your name. Whereas like in a pro fight, because I signed the contracts a couple of 3 months before, I've kind of gone through like spikes up and down. The worst is what you said, is sitting in a lesson in an hour's time, you know, there's going to be a fight.
Just now, do it now, please. Yeah.
Well, I've been at the pub sometimes. I've been at the pub a couple of times back in the day, and I knew someone was coming to the pub, and I'm like, you know what I mean? You kind of got that. Your heart slowly starts to pick up.
It's that angry butterfly, isn't it? That one that got that one that stuck by you. Like all the other butterflies, they fucked off because they came out your ass. But the one that stuck by you is then just like giving it one of them. You think, just calm down. We're going to be good. But you need to either be hit or hit something to get it to calm.
I think that's the best way is when it just happens.
Yeah. Like what Veronica was saying, I would liken to, if I can, maybe the second time you do a driving test. Like the first time you do a driving test, you're terrified, nervous as fuck because you've got no idea what to expect. The second time, you don't lose as much sleep. This is if you did two. If you did it the first time, the statistics say you're a terrible driver. So if you did it the second time, like me, then you're a boss. And I think what that means is that you have an understanding of what to expect. You know what's there. So if you're going out previously, seeing where everyone is, seeing where your family are, your friends and fans and whatnot, and then coming back, I suppose that could be a positive. Whereas if you're walking out for the first time, like you said, through that tunnel, which is, this is it. This is the time like where everyone gets to see you straight away. And some people, I think, absolutely thrive off of that. I think there's a few people, they're few and far between, but they absolutely thrive off that energy of the pop. And then that just carries them all the way to the fucking, the cage.
I never minded it. It was up until it was between hearing the call coming to the dressing room from Bert, when Bert Watson used to run backstage at the UFC. Then as soon as I heard that coming down the corridor and I knew it was time for my fight, I get nerves then. And that'd take me all, well, I'd then go and tie my bandana on. Then that'd take me all the way down the corridor until I was behind the curtain ready to walk out.
Then when you walk, it's like, it's a different, I think it's like stages. So it's like when they come, they tell you 5 minutes. So it's like, okay, you're up in 5 minutes. Then you're just like, why the fuck do I do this? Right? You start to just question your life. Like, why do I do this? Why did I sign up for this? Fuck this, I'm going home. And then
that's the next t-shirt. Fuck this, I'm going home. Perfect.
With a Nike tick upside down.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I've had trouble for that before. I can't do that again. I'm already on Nike's radar, trust me.
I think it's like it's a whole different step. So then like then when they're like, okay, you come. So you're just like, you know what? Fuck this. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. Fuck you. Fuck everybody. And then like you're stepping out and then depends on whether you go first or second. You're like waiting for either them to go out or you to go out. So you're like, you kind of see them right in front of you if they're first. And then they walk out and then you're just like listening to their music and you're obviously talking crap about their music. Mm-hmm. You're just like, your music was crap. My music is way better. So that starts like, it starts right there, or at least for me. And then it's just like, okay, now I'm going to walk. And then that camera is just kind of like in your face and you're just like, I hope I don't trip because I can't see because this light is so bright.
It's so close, right?
And it's really close. And
you're trying to grab your hat.
Yeah, and then like, and the floor, there's usually like some cables and stuff, and you like really don't know if you're gonna trip. For me, the worst is when I fought with ropes. Oh, that's the worst because I really thought I was gonna trip, like trying to get in one of the things because I'm not that tall. So I'm like in between like getting into the short one and then like the normal size people one.
mate.
we'll just overthink it.
I'll take you to Wayne's gym and I'll teach you how to Prince Nassim flip into the ring. I'd never do it.
You know, there were so many Thai boxers that used to jump over the ropes, and they always used to say that anyone that could jump over the top rope was like, oh, you know, you don't go through the ropes, I go over the ropes. You go over the ropes because then you own the ring. I'm like, no, that's just bullshit. That is. I'm not going over the rope because I'll catch a foot and I'll headbutt my own corner.
And the thing is, you've seen it and you remember all of the guys that face planted just doing that.
Dude, you know, one of my favorite things. So my first opponent, so I fought him twice, Lee Dosky.
Yeah.
There's a video of him somewhere online. It's always stuck out in my brain because he was fighting on some promotion in the UK. It was a cage that was, you know, like maybe 2 or 3 feet off the floor and had some like steps up into a single door on one of the fence panels. So, and I don't know how you do this, but this is probably partly nerves and distraction because there's a lot going on. But he ran up the steps. He did a full lap of the cage and came back to the same fence panel, but then did it like a lean back, like he was going to bounce off the fence with his ass, and went ass first straight back out the door. For real. If I find it, I'll put it in the comment section with a time code, because it's one of those things that's just, it's comedy gold, and he didn't even mean to do it.
I've seen people jump off the cage before it started and stuff and twist their ankle and that. Yeah. There's one guy that sort of jumped in, he's celebrating that much, nearly knocks himself out.
Which fighter was it that tore his ACL celebrating on the jumping? I don't know if it was the ropes or the cage. I think it was like Dan Henderson or something.
No, it was he jumped and landed funny and then sort of hopped it off. But it's that thing that, this is what I was talking about the other day, like when I was on the trampoline, you got to try and play it off that, you're fine, but your leg's destroyed. It wasn't Gagey. It's someone who celebrates like Gagey. So he basically gets up onto the cage and instead of doing the moonsault, he sort of got on the cage, was celebrating and then just jumped off. But as he landed, was like, oh, I'm nothing, I'm fine. But he wasn't fine. He tore everything. He fucking mangled his leg up.
I like the end of the fight with Alistair Overeem when he front kicked Travis Brown in the face. And like, he just started to celebrate and then he realized his toe was dislocated and he tried to kind of limp it off. Mate. And as the doctor came in, the doctor was like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I think my toe's dislocated. And the doctor bends down and just pops it back into place.
Just like that.
The ones where people run to the cage to try and jump up and there's some guy stopping them and they're like, what are you doing, man? It's my adrenaline.
We watched the BJ Penn Cal Luno yesterday, the first one, the fast one.
Yeah.
His eyes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mate. It was like an assassination.
Did Cal Luno look like he was wearing someone's swimming shorts from the 60s? The orange and white ones.
The lovely orange ones.
Orange and white ones.
They were classics, they were.
Fucking lost property, mate. That's where they were from. Has anyone got any shorts? Cal's forgot his. Yeah.
Here's a pop quiz question for you. Who face planted Cal Luno?
Who face planted Cal Luno? Yeah.
He did a like a hip toss, like a judo throw, face planted him. Because Cal Luna took his head when he was going forward.
It's not Matt Serra.
No, it's not an easy one. My clue is that he used to wear the same shorts as Tito, black with flames on the bottom.
Oh, mate, I've just been through UFC 1 to UFC 100 looking at rivalries, and Cal Luna came up a load of times against Matt Serra, against BJ Penn, against was it Cara Parisian? Did he fight Cara Parisian?
No, although we watched some Cara Parisian yesterday as well.
Watch him in Tough 7. Watch him in Tough 7 where Cara Parisian walks in, because it was Tough 7 BJ Penn against Jens Pulver, and BJ Penn just owns the whole series, right? But at one point, Nate Diaz is in that series ready to fight Manny Gambiorian, who is Caro Parisian's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Caro walks in and is like just trying to slap him a little bit, just fucking around, because he's the established UFC Hall of Famer at that point. He's like an established dude. And Nate just loses his shit. He's like, no, fuck that guy. Fucking get him outside. I'll whoop the fuck out of him, which I believe he would have. But no, I can't think who face planted. Huh?
He fought Nick, didn't he? Caro Parisian fought Nick Diaz.
I think he did, yeah. Back in the day. That was way before the Tough.
Yeah. Double digits UFC. I'm going back and watching some of these old fights. I want to put some up on the chat, some stuff up on the channel with them.
It's impressive. It's impressive how many people Nick Diaz fought before he disappeared to Strikeforce, Elite, and all the rest. And it never impacted his following. Like, he lost to Diego. He lost to Caro Parisian. He lost to... Did he lose to Joe Riggs? He lost a lot of times, but it was never like you were like, oh, fuck that guy.
No, no.
You always just wanted to see him come back. That's all you ever wanted to see.
Yeah. Cult figure.
Fucking big time, man. Who did who face planted?
Fabiano Ihar.
Ihar, fucking hell. Fabiano Ihar. Because I know that we were thinking before when, was it BJ Penn against Sean Sherk when BJ's licking his gloves?
Yeah, but no, it was it Sean Sherk or was it Joe Stevenson?
He licked his gloves against Sean Sherk, didn't he? He beat the shit out of Joe Stevenson at UFC 80 and there was just blood fucking everywhere.
That's the reason I remember that fight is because when I was fighting for the title, people weren't asking me questions about the fight. It was about, you know, why is MMA legal and it should be illegal, and I was having loads of fucking stupid arguments.
Just Joe Stevenson covered in fucking...
That was always the picture they would send me. They'd tag me, they'd send me this picture. I'd be like, yeah, so he's cut, so he's bloody. I mean... Like, what's your point? It's like, this should be illegal. Like, no, let's calm down.
I don't know. That's just normal. But it was it, what's his name, who ran into the cage head first? It wasn't BJ. We thought it was BJ Penn when we had that conversation before. And it's, what's his name? Jeremy Stevens. You know, he just runs full bollocks and just bounces off.
Yeah.
That's a fucking yeah. dumb.
Fucking, Mark Coleman tries to do it. He runs at the ropes in Pride when he won the Grand Prix.
His daughters are there during that.
He like, tries to climb up and like falls through the ropes and stuff.
But like, doesn't he just spectacularly, right? It's not just like he goes, oh, just slipped. He's like fully out the ring, then back in. Yeah.
There you go. That's the video. Fucked up celebrations. Celebrations gone wrong. You've got Johnny Walker doing his shoulder as well.
When he was, what, body popping?
When he was doing the caterpillar.
Yeah, he had surgery and everything.
Fucked his shoulder up. He's got a good scar from it now.
He's got a good excuse to not be winning anymore, hasn't he?
Oh, dude.
I beat myself.
Yeah. I think he's the kind of fighter that would be affected by there being no crowd, though.
Yeah, yeah, man. Especially at UFC Brasilia, look at it. Like, Johnny Walker, I think he overlooks a lot of people. Not overlooks. He understandably believes in himself.
I think that he looks a lot different physically than when I saw him in Argentina. So when I saw him fight in Argentina, he was very scary. Like, big.
Jacked.
Big.
Before his UFC, before he fought in the UFC.
No, this was like his UFC fight. I think it was his UFC UFC debut. He was big. Like, scary, giant. Like, I saw him and I was just like,
So what you're saying is that they've switched him for someone else.
I mean,
is it not
like
Johnny Walker? I think we've found a conspiracy.
No, because so I saw him in Brasilia, and the times that I saw him, when was it when he fought Corey Anderson? I saw him so like thin, you know, like I physically he doesn't look the same. He doesn't look the same as what he did, and I know when he was. When he fought against Corey Anderson, he was in Russia, and I was in over that gym in Russia. Like, I don't think he should have been in that gym. I don't think he should have been training there. And I just feel like he's very lost, and that is something like I can understand. He doesn't find like a place to train. And I feel like a lot of fighters are going through that they don't find like a gym that. Like, there are a lot of great gyms, but sometimes you go to these gyms and they don't really, like, pay attention to you.
You see it happen a lot.
What do I have to do for you to pay attention to me, you know? Like, I don't have, like, 4 or 5 years to like, basically be kissing your ass until you see that I'm worth something, you know? Like, I have a fight in 2 months. I don't have time. So you, like, desperately go searching, and then you have coaches and people who promise you, like, the earth and then like everything and you go to places. But what I feel with Johnny Walker is that like just from I personally don't know him, right? Like I can tell you as like a spectator, as someone like as a fan, I just don't see him physically the same way that I saw him personally in Argentina.
But is that slightly down to maybe the hunger and how he dismantled his first two or three opponents? Did he go from...
No, I think it has to do with, like, hunger or anything. Like, it's just maybe just a different physical training. Or maybe, you know, like, a lot of the times you just go, like, oh, I don't need so much conditioning. I need more technique or okay. like, my wrestling's lacking and, like, I'll put this to the side because this is more important. So you prioritize different things and then you lose, like, the essence of what makes you, like, so special, right? Like, sometimes, like, this happens to me a lot. Sometimes I try to work so much on my weakness that, like, things that I'm good at, they start to lack and I'm no longer good at them. And then I'm just ending up with, like, just, like...
But that's the vicious circle, though, because I can attribute that slightly to having a good wife. Basically, I wouldn't do shit. I wouldn't get up in the morning. I wouldn't get up. I wouldn't have jet washed the yard. I wouldn't have painted the shed if it wasn't for Stace. So she's the person that drives me to do that. If she one day decided, fuck this, I'm done, then I would be a hermit. Like, you can come and see me. I'll be here. But, like, basically, she is the one who runs everything for us. So if you've got a good management or a good, even if it's a coach, like, you look at someone like
that. Everything goes both ways. That's like saying loyalty. Everything goes both ways. You know, like, and I see this a lot in relationships. Like, sometimes people have, like, downfalls, and instead of being like, well, you look like shit now, I'm going to go fuck somebody else. Like, hey, why don't you try, like, you know, like, lifting that person's spirit? Why don't you try, like, making them feel better, lifting them up, and, like, being a support for them until they can, like, you know, kind of do that for themselves. So if, like, let's say, like, I think it muted. Did it mute?
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's the vicious circle of the having the good support network in the best and the worst scenario. So in the good times and the bad times, no matter if you've won, lost, drawn. I mean, I always use Wayne at fourth as a great example, because he's a straight sociopath. Me and him get on really fucking well. I love the guy to bits, but his training style is superb for people that react well to that training style. If you don't, then your opinion of him is going to be much different to what mine is. And I think when you see people, like you say, like Johnny Walker, that probably have, I've seen a few different places where he's been training, but it's never been like Masvidal's American top team. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know that he's got that relationship there, and it's not just...
Yeah, but Masvidal is not the Masvidal that, like, he is now compared to, like, what he was before. Nobody was paying the same attention to him now as he was before. And, but, like...
He's got the same people with him.
Like, that I've spoken to Dan before. He's just like, oh, you need to find good people around. Like, you're lucky, dude, that you have great people around you that you love and take care of you and would do anything for, and vice versa. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people don't have, like, and it's true, like, okay, well, how are you viewing things? How are you, like, you know, how are you interacting? Why are you letting those type of people, like, sometimes you're just unlucky. Sometimes those people just cling on to you and you just can't get rid of them. But, like I said, it's just a lot of things, like, have to do with luck. Like, some people, like in New York, right? Like, let's say you just live right next to Marcelo Garcia and you can train and be champion. And or some people are born in the middle of freaking nowhere and they want to be, like, the best in jiu-jitsu and they can't.
Yeah.
So the same goes with friends and training partners and coaches and managers and people who care and support system and everything.
That comes down to that support network again, doesn't it? Because you have to put in as much as what you want to take out. And unfortunately, sometimes you invest a load of time into someone that you think you're putting the same in as they're putting in, and it takes 6 months to realize that you're working with a dickhead or that you're just incompatible. So unfortunately, you just have to kiss a lot of frogs until you find the right prince, if that makes sense. Because, I mean, I know I've done jiu-jitsu with certain people and I fucking loved it when they were coaching. And then I've done it when other people were there and I wish that I'd faked an injury that week, because I just don't gel. Yeah,
it's like MMA is not like a nice, cruel, a nice sport where you can just do that. It's cruel. It's cruel. You have 2-3 fights a year, max, 2-3 fights. And then if you lose, you're a piece of shit. That's the thing, though. And then it's just like everything that you do, like, let's say you don't get to find that people, right? Like, you're kissing, like, a bunch of frogs, and you don't get to find these great people that help and support you, and then you lose a fight. But because, like, your support system's, like, bad and all of these problems, then you lose a fight, and then it's just, like, people aren't seeing that it's because of all this behind you.
Yeah. That's the problem. That's the problem when fighters are at the UFC level and they've not found a settled gym. And I mean, Johnny Walker's fought out of different gyms pretty much every fight so far. But, is it same thing with Kevin Lee though? When Rob Follis died, like, he was lost for a little while, and it is difficult. Sometimes it takes a training camp or two to realize that that's not the right coach, and when you're at UFC level, it's not the time to do that.
Yeah, people aren't very forgiving.
No, and the thing is, I would say that I'm an MMA nerd to the point where all I've consumed for the past however long, I've genuinely been reviewing all of the UFCs from 1 to 100, and it got to like UFC 20, and I remember sitting up and watching it. So like at the time, I can remember when it was, say, only UFC 100, I felt that I wasn't committed enough because I hadn't seen the first. I'd seen them in Ultimate Knockouts, but I'd not been religiously watching them. Whereas now I've seen fucking everything. But I always used to pick up on all of the other underlying shit. So, for example, Junior Dos Santos burst onto the screen and was the fucking man, okay? What happened was he came along, I think it was Stefan Struve finished first, big knockout on an undercard, on a fucking undercard. It's like, was it UFC 94? Whatever the fuck it was. I'm not going to pretend I know. So JDS came along, did that, smashed up Kane. After that, you had a massive legal battle and court proceedings and divorce with his wife. But as a casual fan, you're sat there and you're seeing this latest brand new megastar that's got awesome hands and he's smashing the fuck out of everyone. And the problem is, it's not even the support that you don't get or you do get. It's the bit you said about feeling like a piece of shit, because your fans are watching you and they're not checking you on your mortgage payments. They're not checking on if your ex-wife is trying to fuck you over.
Oh, they go on Tapology.com and then they're like,
why the fuck did you lose, dickhead? Okay. You knocked him out in the first 10 seconds last time. Why don't you do that again? And that's been the bit that I've always overdosed on. I've always tried to get in to understand how they're thinking and why they're thinking and doing things the way they do it. Because look at when Randy beat Chuck the first time, okay? Randy beat Chuck the first time because he analysed what Chuck was doing and used it against him and beat him. That was, at the time, fucking bonkers. Like, that was never meant to happen. But the second time, divorce is a motherfucker at the minute, because it was divorce that Randy was going through the second time when Chuck beat him. And it was Randy's stubbornness that was like, yeah, when he caught me that second time, the third time it's not going to happen. And in both of the fights where Chuck wins, Randy gets poked in the eye accidentally. So there's reasons, but there's always underlying shit that we, like, no one's a robot. It's not like an automated number cruncher that we can just put in and go, oh, John Jones is going to win every time. Because there's a load of shit that goes on behind the scenes. But it's hard to try and understand what people are going through, because ultimately, fighters are human. You've got your own shit to worry about. You've got to ring up Vodafone and sort out your new contract, the same as you've got to go to the co-op and buy your own tuna, the same as you've got to go and put your shoes on yourself. Stupid shit. But
coffee, because somebody doesn't send me them.
I won't send you fuck all now. You can forget it. That's it. We're done. But it's true. You're right. And I don't know what the solution is, because the thing is,
But if you think about it, like, that's the negative part of it, right? Like, that's the part where I can sit and moan and whine about it, right? Because it's things that, like, have personally happened to me, right? That I'm just like, I've had, like, shit outcomes and, like, whole bunch of problems happen. But as a spectator and as a fan, that's the great part of the sport, how unpredictable it is, how things like the personal life of the people, how much that matters, and how much, like, if the fact that, like, they get in fight with the nutritionist, were they following their diet, did they make new friends that were, like, bad influences on them, all of that plays a factor to, like, fights that don't even seem that, like, even can be even. So it's also, like, a great thing.
Yeah. Well, it makes it the most exciting sport, because I always used to liken it to wrestling. You get the hype of wrestling, a bit of a storyline, a bit of fucking argy-bargy, a bit of aggro, but you get the realism of boxing, but you don't have to wait 12 rounds to see someone get finished. That's how I used to try and break it down for someone. You get a load of fucking drama, and if it's the most boring fight in the world, the max it's going to be is 25 minutes. Deal with it. But you're right. You've got people even like, was it BJ Penn and Mike Dolce? You remember when BJ Penn, was it when BJ fought GSP? And he was using Mike Dolce, the Dolce diet, and he fell out with him. Or it's when he fought Diego. I can't remember. Or Nick Diaz. It might have been when he fought Nick Diaz. Nick fucking absolutely stomped the shit out of him. And he was blaming Mike Dolce for the weight cut. I think, I'm not saying that I'm right 100%, but something along them lines. But it kind of comes down to jobs. Like, your job doesn't change, but your workmates do. Like, I've had jobs where I have put in exactly the amount of effort that I'm putting in now to this job, and it was completely unappreciated. It was completely overlooked. Like, they didn't understand how my creative personality worked. It was a frustration and it was annoyance. Whereas now it's been honed into this thing that everything that people are getting, wearing, driving, dressing, this, that's coming from here because I've found my comfort zone. So, like you were saying to Dan earlier, he's surrounded by people that love him and care for him and all the rest of it. But he has had the Roy Nelsons and he has had the other different little bits and bobs where he sort of dropped in and it didn't kind of work. And that was like was the Roy Nelson all four fights on the losing streak? Could have been. But it's finding that happy balance. But what can we do to try and make that transition better for more fights? Because all we're working on now is, we're working on statistics. Sorry, my daughter's been drawing on a desk and it's fucking winding me up because I paid for this desk and she shouldn't be drawing on it. But what can we do to make it better? I even saw, is it Din Thomas? He left American Top Team the other day.
Did he really?
Yeah, because the higher these profile things get, the more explosive they are when they fuck up. Like when Cowboy left Winklejohn.
Yeah.
So Cowboy left Jackson Wink. And Diego lost his mind. You're a fucking traitor. 2 months later, Diego fucking left. And you're like, look, you don't have to have that much of an opinion because it's like people that have babies and they have this a thing about, oh, we're going to fucking breastfeed him. They're not going to have a dummy. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And they let you know their whole plan. But the minute that they have to revert to using a dummy or to giving them fucking formula, it's kind of their own fuck up because they've made such a big deal that they weren't going to do that. So you know when Diego lost his mind at Cowboy and was like, you're a fucking traitor. If he'd just kept his mouth shut and privately tweeted Cowboy and gone like, dude, that's a bit fucked up. He wouldn't have looked like such a prick when he left himself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So because everything's in the media now, like for example, you use someone like Stefan Struve, who's been with Bob from day one. He doesn't just train with Bob Schreiber, but he's always been with him. There's never any drama because even Bob said to him, why don't you try training with that guy? Why don't you do this? But that's because he loves him like a son and he has his best interest at heart. Whereas a lot of people, because since the Conor McGregor, the Brock Lesnar side of thing changed, it's all money. Everything's turned into more about how much they can rinse off someone. Does that make sense? And that, I mean, I know managers. When I used to do the banners, there's one guy, he's a fucking dickhead. But they used to do the banners and he would like bill out the banner. So let's say a banner would get you 10 grand in sponsorships from Wild Wings and fucking this company, that company, all the different sponsors that you get on the banner. Let's say you got 10 grand. He used to pass that off and be like, oh yeah, that's four. So like, if you've got people like that in your corner, they're fully fucking Don Kinging you and doing a full title.
Well, there's a lot of times that people don't know about that.
This is it. But
for those.
Right? Like, they don't know.
Yeah, and they're the ones that need calling out because the problem is you then find, let's call him Mr. Dickhead, and you go up to Mr. Dickhead and he's like, I'm going to give you the moon on a stick. And you're like, that sounds good. I'll take a bit of the moon. Thanks a lot. And before you know it, he's got his claws in and you've already lost, I don't know, 20 grand.
Yeah, so like we started the conversation and what happened to Johnny Walker? Is he not that good? We don't know about his personal life. Yeah. So maybe he is this good. Maybe he is this natural freak and this amazing athlete. But we're not seeing this Mr. Dickhead that has his claws in and is messing up his life.
Exactly.
Same with John Jones. Who knows?
Well, that's it. I mean, the thing is,
John Jones has become his own Mr. Dickhead.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
say that again, because you broke up and I didn't get to hear what you said. Say again.
Skype sensor.
Skype sensor. You did a John Jack sensor.
I'd repeat it, but someone had definitely sent the soundbite and play it against me in a Q&A or something.
Okay.
I'll be on stage with John Jones and someone would go, is it right that you said this? And they'll put their phone out and put the mic up to the phone.
Yeah. Yes, I did say that. With his manager stood next to him going, which one of us is Mr. Dickhead?
Yeah.
No. You misunderstand me, dude.
I blame it on the wrong.
But I think the more we get to know, because, I mean, it's that even, have you seen that Dana, it's come out that Dana's been part of a sex tape scandal. And you think, whenever something like that's going to happen, at least it's happening like when there's hardly any news. And someone like Dana, I'm surprised. Like, this is purely my opinion, because I'm not employed by him. But the fact that it's happened and, like, he's not just said, fuck all of you, put it out there. Do what you fucking want. He seems like that kind of guy to me. That wouldn't be bribed in any way, shape, or form. But I don't know if that's just because he's just so good at fucking paying people off. I don't know. But obviously, we can't get into that too much because I don't want either of you to lose your job.
So what's on the agenda for this then? Because I'm getting hungry and there's Lego to still be built. So I'm gonna be ending the call soon. So what's for dinner in the Oxley house?
Oh, well, thanks for talking to me. I was like, Okay, Betty Crocker. Let's see what I whip up.
She has been cooking some amazing things, I will say.
I nearly sent you a picture because I did
every meal is what he's saying. Yeah. That's some amazing every meal.
It's not been cooking the protein bars.
Yeah, and the canned beans. I haven't done that, which he put on toast one time because I didn't make him food fast enough.
Hang on, did you hear that? That was gross. And the canned beans, which he put on toast one time. For everybody else that's listening, that's called beans on toast.
Beans on toast. And you know what would be really posh? Beans and sausages.
With the ketchup.
How is this? That's not a diss. You're not dissing him by saying he has beans on toast.
No, not at all. That would legitimately be my last meal. If I was on death row and I had to pick a last meal, I'd go beans on toast.
After all I've cooked for you?
Heinz beans, Dave's super bread. Well, okay, all right. Well,
okay.
So what you do?
Although that sesame chicken you made the other day look good.
No. You go cook for your damn self. You go have some beans on toast for the rest of your life.
I'm like, who's my toast to diabetes, but it'll be worth it.
I'm fucking pissed.
When she gets angry, she turns into... We were watching American Dad the other day, right? And there's an episode where Stan kidnaps his mum's date.
Yep.
Every time on the third date and drops him off on a desert island. And there's a scene where Roger's sitting at the table in one of his disguises and he's like just shit talking about the bread and about all different kinds of stuff. When she gets angry, that's who Veronica turns into.
What?
I might lose my toast to diabetes, but it'll
be worth it. He just said ketchup, beans from a can.
Yeah.
On some crappy bread. It's better than my food.
Owen knows this better than I do. Owen knows this better than I do. If he makes himself beans on toast for every meal for a week, Stace then takes over and starts cooking him real food.
There you go.
Yep. You just said that is better than my real food.
No.
You just said that would be your last meal, which means that it's better than my food.
It's definitely not. I'll change my mind on that one.
No, it's okay. You're going to have beans on toast for the rest of your life.
No, the fridge is full of delicious things that I have no idea how to cook.
Okay.
Because he has beans on toast.
You get to do this once, and then you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, okay? Three slices of bread, shit white bread, with a fuckload of butter on. Stack them on top of each other and cut them into small squares about this size, okay? Then you've got all your toast. Next, you're going to grate some cheese on that bread, on that toast. Then red hot beans on top to melt that cheese into the toast. Then you're going to double up on the cheese on top, okay? Worcester sauce and bacon. If you eat that and it is not the absolute bollocks, then trust me. You can cook him his last meal and it can be cyanide. It can be whatever you fancy. But
I'm not going to say anything because I'm going to get a bunch of hate messages. So I'm just going to.
Okay. So when you were nine and you were. Okay,
I've had the English breakfast and it's nice. Right? But you're saying that shitty white bread with probably shitty cheese with some butter. The butter is nice in England. And your canned stuff on top of it. You're going to compare that to real food.
Oh, no. Okay, so there's a thing called a kiddie. So you have a kiddie.
That's like you're desperately, like super desperately drunk. Like bad drunk. Like you just threw up. You kept drinking and you threw up again.
He's talking his language now.
Right. So,
and there's absolutely nothing. Like the kebab shop is closed.
Exactly.
Everything's closed.
Right. So is kebab good or bad? Is kebab good or bad?
No, kebab is great.
When?
Just all the time. If you go to the right place all the time. Yeah.
That's kebab is dog shit unless you're drunk.
You go to dog shit kebab places, it's dog shit. If you go to good places, it's good.
So this is why kebabs are okay. Your cooking is great.
You don't know where to find food. My cooking. That's good. But you think.
Beans on toast.
He lives around the corner from George's. You don't need to worry about anything.
I've got my shit on lock. But that's why kebabs are on the same plateau. So here's kebabs. Here's your cooking. Here's my cooking. Here's beans on toast. They're all okay. You don't have to live by one sword. It's good. Grab that beans on toast and rock that shit. Because
that's why weapons scattered around the house. Because if someone breaks in, it's kind of like a roll of the dice as to what I get to end with.
Are you beans on toast or are you fucking kebab? No, I'm not. Jackie potato.
I was trying to decide which one of my neighbours I was going to kill yesterday because I woke up to the lovely sound of everyone doing fucking DIY or cutting the grass.
Ah, no. Oh. No, see, I wait a bit. I mean, I've just got the table football out the shed for the kids, which is probably going to cause more marital problems and parent problems because I taught Moo how to play Wally the other day. She's never played Wally, which is, if you don't know, you kick a ball against the wall and then your opponent gets to kick it again. So basically, you're just bouncing the ball off the wall, but you only get one shot. So if you try and control the ball and then kick it, you're out. So you've got one. So basically, you're volleying the ball constantly against the house. So she likes that. She call it Wallies. And then I got the table football out. So just competitive shit, basically. I've got the crossbows out the other day. There's lots of shit, which is basically just pitching my kids against each other. They've gone full Katniss Everdeen off of fucking Hunger Games at the minute. The question I have for Veronica now then, because this has piqued my interest. In England, any kid that is nine and playing out with his mates, when they get in the summer of whatever year it was when they were nine, they went, Mom, I'm starving. Starving, what can I have? And she got beans on toast ready in a record of 4 minutes. What did you have when you were nine and you were playing out with your mates and you got in and you went, Mom, Dad, get me some dinner. What can I have? What was your shit meal that was like a quick dinner?
Rice and ketchup.
You think I have friends?
Now you've got friends, you can come out and play and I'll make you some beans on toast afterwards.
She tried peanut butter, Marmite peanut butter the other day.
Oh my God.
It was quite funny watching her face. It was like, you know those videos of like the first time a baby's trying a Brussels sprout or something? And like it just starts eating it like normal, like it's nothing, and then all of a sudden the taste kicks in, and it's like, and it's that whole expression like, why would you do this to me kind of look.
Yeah, like trying to feed a dog lemon.
Spit it out of their mouth, and it rolls down their chin. Pretty much the same thing. It was okay for the first 10 seconds, and then the aftertaste of the Marmite kicked in. And what percentage of the population do you think like Marmite? What do you think that is?
That is a percentage in itself. The percentage of Marmite is 50-50, isn't it? That is a technical term. So if you are a mathematician or a scholar at Harvard and you use the term, it's Marmite, then you're saying it's a 50-50. That's a legal term. So that is the percent, 50-50.
Is that right?
Tastes like shit, but Stace likes it.
See, I don't like it. That's weird because I thought you might. But then Stace likes those herbal tablet sweets, and I like them as well.
All over that. I like them. But you know the herbal I tell you what my friend did tell me about the other day. We were playing COD on Friday night. So I was a little bit woozled. And we flipped from Call of Duty to play Monopoly. And that's a lot slower pace, card game, chilled out. And one of my good friends, David, said to me, I'm just going to go and get some snacks. He actually called them snacky snacks because he was very drunk. And I said, me too, David, let's hook up the snacky snacks. Went into the kitchen and I had cheese and onion crisps and I had plain crisps. So I said to the boys, here's the dilemma. What do I have? And they were like, do you know what? Get a bag of plain crisps and put Liam Perrin's Worcester sauce in the plain crisps. Now, let me tell you about a game changer. If you have got Liam Perrin's Worcester sauce and any crisps, cover that fucker in them crisps. Honestly, it makes them a little bit wet, but shit, it was fucking amazing. And you know when you sat 2 a.m., everyone else is in bed, and
were drunk, so we don't really know.
I was
salad.
Yeah, that could be terrible.
Same as a kebab.
We've got the sea salt and vinegar Tyrell's crisps in the cupboard. And I bought them. I bought them about 5 days ago, just to see how long they would stay in the cupboard sealed.
How long?
And yesterday I said, "Oh, yeah, we've got those crisps, haven't we? They've not been opened yet." And she went, "Oh no, no, they've been opened.
They're gone.
At least they're still there."
That's true.
Mate. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I can't buy anything for myself because it goes in the cupboard, and I've got no problem with, like, the big bag of crisps, which are the proper bags of crisps, not like the little multi-pack ones that you go one bite and it's gone. The kids will open the big bags just to try it. And then I go to the cupboard and it's fucking wide open. It looks like a fucking, like a whale yawning. I'm like, why didn't you put a peg on that shit? Because now it's fucking, they've gone all stale. But being a quite a resourceful man, I still have to eat them because I don't like to waste money. I just chew down the stale crisps. But yeah, it's Worcester sauce in the crisps. Trust me, man. I keep doing this, but I swear Mystery's just going to get a fucking gif of me. Look like I'm a donkey or something.
You know, that's a point, actually. When we went to Matlock that time and Mystery bought them fucking horrible sweets.
Them sour ones.
They were awful. That was the worst thing I've ever tasted.
Yeah, and I'm surprised.
It was like soapy washing up liquid and...
Oh, what's that other thing you made me eat? That was gross. The rice cakes.
Yes, balsamic vinegar rice cakes with Marmite and peanut butter on them.
Yes. Do you think why he's not in charge of cooking?
Mate, ice station diet. Winning.
That's why I always cook. I cook or Mystery cooks or you cook.
Yeah. But then, that's it. Mystery makes good guacamole.
Yeah. Next time I cook, I'm cooking beans on toast.
Yeah.
I'm definitely cooking beans on toast next time.
I want that sesame chicken next time.
Mate, honestly.
All this talk of food is making me hungry.
Yes. Right. What do you want to do? Do you want to get back together at some point? We'll get back together at some point. Eh?
Yeah, what day is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll do another one later this week. We'll have a catch up.
Don't say a date, though, because people text me.
Do they really?
You promised us a podcast.
I don't know. We have to have something to talk about, don't we? And the days are all running together at the moment.
Yeah, fuck it. Especially when you're getting rage about beans on toast. Right.
Right.
Goes. Take it easy.
We're catching up.